Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that you're the Word, you're the one that, your Holy Spirit is the one that working in each one of us, Lord God. Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, that whatever I'm sharing, there are all the words that is from you. And Holy Spirit, we invite you here now to bring life through your message, to bring revelations, convictions, transformation power, and challenge us to think differently, to have a kingdom mindset instead of an earthly mindset, Lord God. We praise you, we thank you that you're always at work in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. I was reading John chapter 1. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then I'm verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word really struck out to me was the Word became flesh. The reason why that really stuck out at me was because I have a sense of the direction that God wanted me to preach on, was we are the salt of the earth. So I've been meditating. I even have conversation with one of the lady in the church about what does it mean being the salt. And then when the word, when I was reading that, the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. As we celebrated Christmas, we have all the lovely things. We have the lovely pictures of Jesus as a baby in a manger. We have Christmas presents. We have all the twinkly lights and pictures of angels singing. Everything is lovely. But if we really think about the Word became flesh, what does that really mean? The Word, that's God, holy, pure, everything good, everything glorious. You wouldn't think of anything that is remotely have anything that is a hint, even a hint of darkness or sins. When the Word became flesh, it was the most holiest. We, as us as human, we can't actually imagine it. But the most holiest God came to earth, became a human baby. He wasn't born in a nice place. He was born in a manger through a human person who is, all of us have sinned. Because through Adam and Eve, when sin came into the world. So this is, I'm thinking of like as parents, before we had the baby, we prepare a lovely room. We prepare things for the baby to be born, you know, like we have the cot, we have the nice gown, and we have, you know, baby clothes, and it's a celebration. But I'm thinking of like, how does that feel? Just thinking, God came into the world, but it's not a nice world. In Isaiah it said, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth. It's Isaiah 60. And thick darkness the peoples. That's the world that Jesus was born into. It's a world filled with darkness and evil. And that's it. sin came into the world is sin and death. And I was preparing the birth of my child, you know, my two boys, we prepare nice things. But God, Father God, when Jesus was born, it wasn't preparing a nice environment. It was an environment that was full of darkness and sin and death. Just thinking about it, would I actually want a child to be born into the most sinful place, environment? Or even thinking of, like, if I'm reading some testimony, you know, or people who has to send to some other country, if the parents have, even if they, let's say they haven't committed sin, or if they have, if they're already pregnant, that child's born in that environment. There are those places that are so evil, 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 dark places. I wouldn't go into those places. I would not want my son to grow up in those places. But Father God, for God so loved the world, and our Lord Jesus was born in that environment, the world. I can't say any of us could claim that we are good in our own strength. I would say that the world without Jesus do not have anything good. I mean, I can say that I grew up in a nice family. I have parents. I know it's broken still. I was adopted. But I can actually thinking every good things that come out of it would still have come from God. They would have learned what is a good way to bring up your child, to feed them, to clothe them, to give them education. But did that come from God? I would say that everything that is even a hint of goodness come from God. And God is the one that actually have been transforming this world since the time of Jesus. When Jesus came, light came into the world, and it brought transformation. So when I'm thinking of when Jesus say, "You are the salt of the earth," the salt has this property, is that we use salt to make something taste nice in our food. But salt is also preservative. So in Jesus' time, when they killed an animal for meat, they would preserve it straight away. There's no fridge. It's hot there. Things would just go off straight away. That you either eat it then. So they're not like also a place where you can store meat or even vegetables. Like even nowadays, we can buy things that are in a jars. There'll be salted water or meat like bacon that are salted. But we also have fridge so we can keep the meat fresh. But in Jesus' time, there are no such things. So salt was very, very important. And in that culture, salt is also something that they will put it on the wick of a lamp to increase its brightness. So that's a practical thing for the salt. So there's a lot of function in it. And also, it also is a represent wisdom. So in the culture and the language, when they talk about salt, it actually represent wisdom in the words. But also the symbol of faithfulness in friendship in Jesus' time. So there is a whole load of things that come attached when Jesus say, "You are the salt of the earth." But also in Old Testament, The Israelites also has a salt covenant with God. And when God said you have to put salt in all your offering, in those offerings, it also represents about God is the one that there is a, it doesn't go bad. It preserves it. But on its own, meat on its own will go bad. So I'm thinking of like when Jesus came into the world, without Jesus, we are all capable. If we are given in the opportunity or even born in a different environment, we can say that we can actually look at somebody, oh, how can they be doing that? But what if we were born in the same environment they came from? You know, like we will have quite angry sometimes in a different group of people when we're talking about different people group. They will leave their rubbish on the side of the road, or they will do whatever they want. They have their own law because the government allowed them to. But what if we're born in the same environment as they are, in the same family? We would be totally capable of doing the same thing without Jesus, because they taught their children how to live. So all of us, God was the one that have been his light and his almost like his God's flavor has that function of being preserving us. And even if we say that we come from a different denominations or we didn't know the truth in different churches, but there are still a lot of the truth that we hear from different churches, you know, like whether it's a Catholic church or Church of Ireland, Anglican church, or Baptist church. We have different things that people do different things differently, but within that, we still have a sense of God. We still have a sense of what is right and wrong. And we're reading the Bible, and the Bible teaches us what is the truth. And God has been preserving the world. Because if you're thinking about all the different continents, there are believers in all the different continents, in different areas. People actually have opportunity to listen to the gospel, to listen to who God is for each one of us. And God has been doing the work ever since Jesus. The gospel has been being preached. Yes, we can focus off that there's still so much. There are still so evil. There is still so much darkness in all the different places. But when Jesus said, we are the salt, he's the one that has been doing the work in each one of us. Somebody has preached to us. Somebody has shared the gospel with us. Somebody has, whether it's in school even, you still have a sense of if the teacher been saying this is the right way and wrong way, where did that come from? As we seeing government making decisions, that is almost like going worse directions. Or as we're seeing school are teaching things to our kids, that is so wrong. It's getting worse. But we can actually come to a place of saying, Lord, you have declared in your word when Jesus said, you are the salt of the world. As we read those words, because the words are alive and active, we are actually taking it on and say, I am the salt of the earth. It doesn't matter how dark the world is getting, but we step up when the world is getting dark. And we take on the calling, I am the salt of the earth. We can lift our eyes off the focus of how dark the world is getting, the laws that the government are making that we don't agree with. We can actually lift our eyes to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, you're alive in this world. Your light is shining. Because you have your people, your body on earth as your light, as your salt. Not through our own strength. We're not defined by our environment. We're defined by who God is in us. If we are defined by our environment, then the environment will absorb us. If you're thinking pictures of the salt preserving the meat, it doesn't need a lot, the same equal amount of salt to preserve the same equal amount of meat, weight-wise. I don't know if you know, I mean, I've seen shows when they make bacons, they sprinkle salt all over it. But it's not the same equal amount. It's not like you have to have so much salt for it to affect the meat. It's really, the salt is not actually that much compared to the amount of meat. But it still has that power to affect the meat. So if you're talking about flavor, you're making a big pot of stew or soup, you wouldn't use the same size pot of salt to dump it into your same size pot of soup for it to actually have the flavor. That would be like too much. We can't eat it. You only need, you know, like if you're a pot, you only need like half a teaspoon or even less. So as we are thinking about God is in us, as we are abiding in Christ, being led by the Holy Spirit, our voice can be powerful. If you're thinking about walking into a room, everybody feeling very hopeless, everybody feeling, oh, where's this world becoming? And what are we going to do? There's nothing we can do. But if each one of us actually have our focus on God and saying, Lord, what can I do? I might not be able to save everybody. But if each one of us thinking of like, I can do what God put in my heart to do, we can be that salt that influence the situation, that could actually transform the environment around us instead of letting the environment change us. And then we feel overdrowned with all the evil and all the darkness and all the bad things in the world. And God is powerful within us. Jesus said, it's better that he leave. Greater work that we will do. Jesus was one person. If Jesus actually is still alive, and that the only place we could get God is go to Jesus, we all have to take a plane to Israel and try to find Jesus, whichever city he is walking to. But now, God is in each one of us as his believers. And we're defined by who Christ is in us, not the environment. We can transform the environment. But how do we do that? We can't do it in our own strength. There's no shortcut in a sense. It really comes from our relationship with God. And that really comes with us even reading the Word of God. Not as a law, but when we read the Word of God, we're actually being transformed daily. What we're feeding on. We're being transformed because we're taking on the Word that is active and alive within us. We're not reading the Word of thinking of like, oh, God said I'm supposed to be doing this, and then the devil come and say, yeah, what sort of Christian are you? You're not doing this, you're not doing that, you're not doing that. The enemy can do that. But if we're actually thinking of, Lord, I'm living for you. This is alive. Jesus is alive. He's the Word. He's saying that I can be this. This is us taking on as children of God. And when he declared those words saying, you're the salt of the earth, I said, I'm the salt of the earth. Holy Spirit, you will empower me to live that out. It is a relationship. Sometimes when we feel, we might feel, I can't do this. And then God will just say, yes, you can. And that's the Holy Spirit. Each moment God is with us, living out the words that we read. And another key is also, live a lifestyle of praise and worship with a thankful heart. When we are busy, thankful and praising God of who God is in us and through us, it will stop the enemy's track of sowing things into our mind all the time. It was because when we are praising God, the enemy do not have that opportunity to keep sowing the junk of the world, the darkness, the evil things, the guilt and the shame and the fear and all of those things. When we're actually coming into that presence of praising God and worshiping Him, even as we wake up in the morning, thank you, Lord, that I'm breathing. You created air for us. You have given us water. I could get up and have a drink of water, fresh water. There are so many things that we could thank for. When we're busy thanking God, it gives us more of a solid ground instead of getting up. First thing we're thinking, and then we're going to school, or work. And then that's the present we walk into. And everybody just agree with us. Yeah. Did you see the news last night? It was awful. But when we're actually walking in a thankful heart, God is the one that actually, instead of us focusing what is going wrong, He can actually direct our mind of say what He is doing. What is the situation? Even in our most difficult situations, in our own personal lives, God can still use it. What the enemy meant for evil, God can use it. He'll use it to teach us. He'll use it to build up our faith. He'll use it to direct us. And he would be the one that said, this is the way, walk in it. When we turn to the left or right, God is with us constantly. So we can be thankful even in the most difficult time. Because that's the time sometimes when we are on our knee the most. When we are on our knee the most, we actually really get that presence of God. And when we come together with other believers, we're getting people coming around us and encouraging us. And those are the time that we can actually look back in the difficult times. God was with me. And that actually took us out of even like feeling about, you know, the negative feelings. And instead of the situation affecting us, we can stand and say, my Lord is with me. And we can actually be the salt because we're taking on who God is. In our own strength, we don't have anything. I know I don't. But God said, when He died for us, when we give our life to Him, we're surrendering everything within ourselves. If I still have something that I think I can do, that means God is not doing it in us, in me or through me. So sometimes it's actually almost easier just to let go. To say, Lord, I know I don't have it, but when I surrender everything to you, I can be who you say I am. I can live it out the way that God called me to live. So this morning, as I'm closing, I would challenge us as the body together to learn to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Even train our children to do it. Even at breakfast time, sometimes we're so busy getting ready for work, let's think about what can I be thankful for in the morning? And then go to bed thinking, what can I be thankful for today? So it's not us doing it, but we can train our teenagers, our children to do it. But if we do that every day, it pick up a momentum, because quite often when we're going through stuff, when we walk into environment, everybody is doing things that is more worldly. We actually forget the power that is within us. Or if people are going through a really hard time and there's a group of people, like, let's say, a factory closing down or something. You can walk into the place, you can feel this that atmosphere of just dead. People are just depressed. But when we're actually thinking of, how can I be the salt in this environment? I remember Steve sharing that in work. When he lost his job, people are still saying, how can you still have so much peace and joy? And I remember the boys, some other parents, that was asking me, your husband is losing your job or already lost a job. How can you still be so cheerful? That's because the Lord is in me. We're not affected by the environment. A thankful heart creates the momentum of taking our eyes focus. And I'm not saying about blinding to the situation. I'm not saying like, oh, I'm ignoring it. But even in the most difficult situation, I can still have things that I could thankful for. I remember somebody challenged me that years ago. I was going through depressions. And she was saying, God wants you to start having a thankful heart. And I was thinking, for what? And I wasn't walking with God yet. Steve was going to church. I was thinking of like, Lord, you have to show me you're real before I come to church. And the next morning, I said, yeah, whatever, you know. The next morning, the first thing I woke up, thinking of like, I remember what she was saying. It wasn't because of her. It was because of the Holy Spirit. So the first thing I was thinking, okay, what's the harm? So I start doing it. And I'm thinking of, that's nothing I want to be thankful for. At that time, I had miscarriages. The doctor said I can't have kids. I've been in and out of hospitals. I was really sick all the time. But as I was thinking of what can I be thankful for, I said, okay, I'm breathing. I'm alive. Am I thankful for that? I'm not feeling it, but I said, at least I'm not in pain. And then I start thinking, it pick up the momentum. Each day, what can I be thankful for? Even in the most difficult situation, we still have a lot to be thankful for. And then I start thinking, oh, I have a good husband. That's a good thing. He wasn't beating me up every day or anything, you know. He wasn't like a horrible person. He was a good provider. And he really loves me. So I could be thankful for that. Oh, I have a roof over my head. Okay, I have a home. I have a bed. I have food. I have water. I have clean water. And when I went to the loo, I'm thinking, that's clean water there. I wasn't living in the jungle. And I've been to, you know, really poor places where it's just a hole on the ground. As I started, I couldn't stop. And then it became a lifestyle every day. I didn't do it because somebody said that I should be thankful. I did it because it was the Holy Spirit in me. He was the driving force in that. And I became thankful for so many different things. So it really lifts my eyes of the situation. And then a few months later, I said, okay, I want to be baptized. I want to come and walk with God, to know God. And when the baptism, when I got out of the water, my depression went completely supernaturally. So when I was obeying the word, the voice of God, to praise Him, I wasn't jumping up and down saying, yay, hallelujah, you know. It was just, I was saying, okay, I can't be thankful for those things. And God supernaturally delivered me out of depressions, out of fear. And then a few months later, I was pregnant with Matthew. when something that people, doctors say is completely impossible. So I did what I could do when God gave me a task. Be thankful. God did the rest. So it is a great thing for us to actually learn to pick up that lifestyle of thanksgiving. Because that lifestyle of thanksgiving can cause us, when we walk into a room of the environment that people are depressed or people have feel hopeless, because we're so used to seeing what God is doing, being thankful, we can be that salt for somebody else that changed the flavor of that environment. So we need to do that for ourselves, and we can do that for others. So let's do that. Let's teach our kids to do that. They go to school. There is lots of junk there. And then from that, their friends might be dealing with different things. But same as for each one of us, you can go to work. The workplace can be the same place, the same, have the same junk. You can even turn on the TV or turn it off sometimes. Most of the time, you just feel like, oh, I can't watch that. But let's a people be the one that changed the world. As we say, as Jesus said, you are the salt of the world. Let's really declare that over ourselves. So I'm going to say, you are the salt of the world. So let's declare that and say, I am the salt of the world. Can you all say that? I'm the salt of the world. I am the salt of the world. I am the salt of the world. And we are not defined by the environment. So let's say, we are the salt of the world. And God used us to preserve this world. And now say to the person next to you. Say it to each other and say, you are the salt of the world. You are the salt of the world. Jonathan, you are the salt of the world. Now the Bible verse, Jesus actually said, if the salt lost its flavor, it's no good. In the actual science term, I'm not a scientist. I know we have scientists here. Salt in its content is almost impossible to lose its saltiness. Because we're picturing salt from really clean container that we buy from the shop. We bring it home, we store it in a nice, cool, dry place. The most it will get is damp. But even dampness, it still doesn't lose its saltiness. If you just put it back on top of radiator or something, the moisture go out, it will be salty again. So the only way for salt not be salty is if it is contaminated with so many things. So if you're thinking about picture at Jesus' time, there's no factories that produce salt in a nice packaging. The salt will come from either the sea or rock salt, which will be mixed with probably other materials, you know, like from the ground. And if it is from the sea, that will be mixed, it will have sand and other things. Or it depends on where they store it. They don't have, you know, I don't know the storage situation in Israel. I can only picture it. So our salt, if we store it in a nice clean container, it has even a lid. But I don't know how does that work in Jesus' time. Does it have a nice shaker? Or is it just in a bowl? You know, you can have anything that foreign to it. So the only way for us to lose our saltiness is we're if when we are letting the world come into us. So what we're doing, spending our time doing, or our mind meditating on, or thinking about, would determine our saltiness. So if I'm spending a lot of time reading stuff that I shouldn't be reading, or watching too much TV, or listening to songs that is really in the world, have all the really awful lyrics, that's what I'm taking it on. But if I'm spending time reading the Word of God, spending time with God, praying, worshiping, even being thankful, obviously we can't read the Bible 24/7, even if we want to. Our mind can't absorb, because we do have to live. But we can still be thinking about things, mindful of what we're thinking, or what is churning in our head. Is it something that gives us life? If it is from God, or if it is from the world, or from the enemy even, sowing seed and lies into our mind. So those sort of things would determine our saltiness. But I can guarantee you, if I'm saying like anybody else actually wants to live a lifestyle that you don't care about how salty you are, you just say, well, whatever is whatever. But the fact that you're here on a Sunday morning, you're sitting here listening to me, that means chances are, actually, as you read the Word of God, when God say, when salt has lost its saltiness, you'll be thinking of, how can I not do that? Instead of thinking of, I don't care. So as believers, we do want to live the way that God called us to live. So it is about every day abiding in the Holy Spirit. Abiding in Christ, and let the Holy Spirit do the work in us. So I'm just finishing here now, and I'll pray. Thank you, Lord God. We are not defined by the world, because you didn't. Lord Jesus, when you came into the world, into the place that is only full of darkness and evil and sin and death, you brought life into the world, and you brought light into the world. Without you, we are the same as everybody else, living in our flesh, full of sin and death. Just like as the meat that will go off and go bad and smell so bad. But Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that you came into the world and you transformed the world. And as we gave our life to you, you came into us and you transformed us. That we are now no longer living just as our flesh, but we're living in our spirits, being led by you. Lord God, increase our awareness of who you are in us and through us. As we declare the words that we are the salt of the earth, I pray, Lord God, that Holy Spirit, you will reveal to us that things that we're doing that actually will take away our saltiness. Take away our effectiveness of this world, that our effectiveness of being your people in this world. Lord God, we completely humble ourselves before you. Lead us, Lord God. And reveal to us of situation and an environment what we can do to be your salt. That is a partnership with you, Lord God. It is you working in us and through us. We praise you, we glorify your name. And we continue to say, we are the salt of the earth. Praise you, Lord God. Amen.